Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley.
And I'm her daughter, Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Heidi and I want to welcome you to Open to Hope Conversations, the podcast.
We believe that the greatest gift you can give yourself after a loss is hope, using this moment to connect with others who have not only survived, but thrived.
So let's get started. Welcome to the Open to Hope Show. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my daughter and co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. I just wanted to give a shout out for your book. All proceeds will go to the Open to Hope Foundation.
The name is Open to Love, The Secrets of a Senior Dating for all of those who've lost a partner who are interested in thinking about dating again. You'll find it useful. Well, Heidi, we've got a great guest on today, and we're going to be talking about power and purpose.
We are going to talk with Susan Letai. She is a certified master grief coach. Her son died at 28 years old of glioblastoma. Susan offers a one-on-one six-week intensive coaching program where she will help guide you in writing your story in order to feel lighter, find a sense of peace and happiness again. Welcome to our show, Susan.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, Susan, you're on to three books, but you've written your second one. Talk a little bit about your journey.
That was a little bit of my journey. So the books that I created are in an anthology series. So not only do I share my story, but I also have stories of 10 others in my first book. I thought it was just a great way to help others in knowing that there is light at the end of the tunnel when you lose somebody so dear to you. And when I was newly grieved, I didn't think that there were enough real stories out there that I could relate to. So I wanted to offer something that others could relate to, especially if they're not in a place where they want to talk to others or they want to reach out for therapy or go to group. This is a very non-invasive way or where they can just read a book and be offered that hope and inspiration to, you know, maybe even it is just to get up the next day.
You are the author of the anthology series, Shining a Light on Grief.
I have two volumes of that.
I know that you have found peace and acceptance over the loss of your son. And I want to know how you do that, because I know so many people are looking for those two things.
Well, it's been a journey, like anything. It's life is a journey. And after the loss of my son, I really had no idea what to do. I didn't know how to grieve, because we're not taught how to grieve growing up. We learn by example. So when I lost my son, I did everything I could to keep myself afloat, to be able to get up the next day. And sometimes it was just focusing on things, most of the time outside of myself, that I, you know, not that he was ever far from thought, but hopefully, you know, enough to allow me to continue to do my work. And at that time, I was doing event production. So I was doing expos, wellness expos, as well as business expos. So I needed to stay focused, and I needed to be around people, which was very difficult in the beginning. And as the years went on, luckily, I had some tools in my toolbox. First thing I went to was gratitude. Mm-hmm. Was just grateful how everything happened, because not everybody gets the chance to spend with a loved one once they're diagnosed. Sometimes it happens very quickly, or somebody loses somebody to an accident. Maybe they have a heart attack, whatever it may be. One, I was grateful that I had those 2.5 years with him.
He lived a long time with a glioblastoma.
Well, he wasn't originally diagnosed with glioblastoma. It turned into glioblastoma over the course of a few years.
2.5 years, yeah.
Yeah. So just being able to be his caretaker and, you know, just being the only one in his hospital room when he passed. I mean, it was such an honor, because his dad and his stepmother literally walked in like 5 minutes later. Mm-hmm. So to have been the only one there and be able to sit on his bed with my hand on his heart and really say my goodbye, mm-hmm. It was, you know, it was something for me to be grateful for. So mm-hmm. That was the first thing. And over the years, as the years went on, I learned While I used to do a lot of journaling, it was really difficult to do after he passed. And once I decided to start writing again, that took off such a huge burden I felt off my heart, off my ability to be able to cope and handle and live life, you know, find those pieces of happiness. I don't think there's ever one thing, and I don't think there's ever one thing or several things that are right for everyone. What I did worked for me, because it's really rediscovering who you are and how to live. I mean, really, that's what it is. And I feel that, and I've met so many people who don't know how to live after a loss.
Well, and that's such a big deal, what you just said, Susan, rediscovering who you are. Because I think that when you have the death of a child, of a sibling, of a spouse, you lose part, you lose your identity. Like, who am I without my son? You know, I certainly said that when my brother died. Who am I without Scott in my life? I don't know who I am anymore. So how did you do that?
How did I do it? I feel like it isn't like one thing. It's a compiled thing where, yes, writing helped me. I had originally published my story in somebody else's anthology book, where that got me writing first. And I learned that writing can be so cathartic and healing. And that's what I do with my clients, is I really push them to write, to get to the emotion, the feeling of what they're going through. Because anybody can write, but if you don't get to the real deep part of it, then it's not going to necessarily work as well. It may help, but where the magic happens is when you're able to really understand how you're feeling and how to next move to the next stage of what you're going through. When I started and I wrote that first, my first story, it was hard. It was really hard to write, especially knowing that other people are going to read it. Not only me writing it for me, it just felt like the right thing to do at the time. And I was very resistant to starting it. And when I finally realized that it wasn't just my story, it was our story, that helped. Because without him, there was no story. So that was the first thing. And over, you know, over time too, I started meditating. I started really helping people. Like, I found purpose again. I found purpose in knowing that I can help others. And that's my mission, is to really help people find purpose again in their life after loss. And for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm really living my passion. I'm living my truth.
How long has your son been dead? How long has he been gone?
He died March 9th, 2017. So
okay, 17, because you're saying I really now feel like you're living your truth.
So it took me a good 5 years to be ready to step into my mission. I knew I was going to do it, but I just wasn't ready.
Well, and I feel like that's so normal. And I feel like people that have not had significant losses in their lives don't realize that it's a journey. It's a process. Yeah. You know, when you think you're going to have your son in your life until you're very, very old, I mean, 5 years, it takes on a whole new meaning. It's really not that long. So, you know, it's important for people out there, because I feel like sometimes people want us to fast track through it and they can't figure out why we're grieving at 2, 3, 4 years, you know,
and we're normal. We're all different, right? So our grieving journey and our grieving process, you know, yes, it took me a good 5 years, but I still have processed a lot over the last 2 years, especially as other people talk about their stories. I talk about mine, and a lot of time I continue to heal as well. I think healing is the journey, is part of the journey, and that will always, you know, there's always another layer, like an onion, like, okay, oh, I thought I was good. And all of a sudden something hits you and you're like, oh, maybe not. You know, for the most part though, I feel like I have healed a good portion of my grief.
Now you talk about meditation.
I started about 2 years ago, and I just finally, you know, you go through these things. Oh, I should. And finally I'm like, okay, for me, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to meditate every single day And I started using an app on my phone, and I've just been able to go deeper, deeper, and deeper into meditation, where it just gives you a whole new perspective on things.
Mm-hmm. I found that when my son was killed, you have that monkey mind for the, you know, you just can't settle down, concentrate. You can't, it's very hard to meditate. So I found that, you know, just walking and things like that, where movement was better for me early on, but I meditate now, and you get, you know, you calm, the mind gets calmer as time goes on. I know that you said that you speak to your son every day. I read somewhere. Talk about that.
I do speak to him all the time. I mean, when I feel I need to, I don't think it's every day anymore, but it's there every once in a while, or I see numbers all the time. And so often I'll see his birthday, which is 6/23, and I'll see that all over the place. And I'm like, okay, hi Nate, how are you? I know you're here. Okay. Thank you. And it just brings me comfort. That's, I think, something I've done for a while, is just look at numbers. So when he did pass, it was like, okay, looking for his birthday, looking for just signs. And sometimes I'm like, okay, what are you trying to tell me? And when I really need to talk to him, I can do it through writing, or I can do it through sitting quietly and asking him questions, and he answers me. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm looking for answers for something, he'll be there when I need him.
Mm-hmm. Well, in looking at anticipated loss and, you know, taking care of him, you were the caretaker, but that was a big job. When that job ends, who am I now? The pills have been put away, the room's been changed. And now what? Now what do I do with my day?
Yeah, and part of it, honestly, is, you know, is it was relief, because it is so hard to be a caretaker. And at the end, it was, yes, okay, I no longer have to be a caretaker, but he's no longer suffering. Mm-hmm. I think it was that harder for me to comprehend the fact that he was my only child. Mm-hmm. So am I still a mother? You know, when people would ask me if I have children, I was like, how do I answer that?
Well, Susan, and that's such a big question that you'll get for the rest of your life.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And so when somebody asks me, I say, yes, I have one child, except he passed, you know, mm-hmm. or is no longer with us, or however, depending on who I'm talking to. And people will just, you know, then they'll go through, oh, I'm sorry, you know, which is fine. But
I feel like that you are like educating the world and helping the world when you respond that way, because you're letting people know, hey, he's my son, and he was here, and now he's not. And it's okay to talk about him, you know? So, right. And also you don't kind of know that other people may have had that loss. And by you putting it out there, they may say, hey, wait a minute, I actually had a child die also. Mm-hmm. So it's a gift.
And that's what
people.
I find. I do find that when I'm out in the world and I'm talking and I mention that I have a book, or I mention that I have a loss, because a lot of times, because I'm a grief coach, people ask me, well, how did you get into that? Mm-hmm. If they don't know, or I didn't say it already. So they, and if they've had a loss, it gives them permission to share that they also did, because in our world, it's not like you wear your grief outside. You don't wear it as a badge of honor or something on your forehead that says, yes, I'm grieving. There's so many people out there just silently grieving, and you have no idea what they're going through or if they've had a loss that's significantly impacting them.
Are you aware of the organization Alive Alone? It's for parents with no living children. I came across it through the Compassionate Friends, because Heidi and I have been involved with Compassionate Friends for many years. And there are a number of parents with no living children who are involved with the Compassionate Friends and find peer support there.
Because your son was ill and, you know, sick for 2.5 years and dying basically at the end, was there anything that you learned from him?
He was so generous. He had a huge heart that he still, even when he was sick, he focused on everyone else. Wow. and how they were doing. He has an aunt, and she lost a daughter. So he lost a cousin when he was like 13 years old. And on Mother's Day, every year he would call her And even when he was sick, he still called her and wished her a happy Mother's Day and asked her how she was doing.
Wow.
So it wasn't, it was never about him. It was always mm-hmm. about other people. So just to watch that and to realize that was big. He also had a huge smile. I don't know if he gets that from mm-hmm. me or not, but
he
could always light up a room. He was always friendly. He loved everybody as well as protected everyone. So he was very dear to me.
Mm-hmm. You know,
he sounds amazing.
And I think that the gratitude that you have in your heart, I know, for having had him in your life for 28 years, I think that's probably part of the key to your finding purpose and power and all that after a loss like this.
I didn't know what else to do when he did die. It was like, okay, that's what kept me alive is mm-hmm. focusing on gratitude, what I did have versus what I didn't have anymore.
Yeah.
Wow. So.
Well, yeah. Your next book, you're writing it right now, and it's going to be the focus of?
Same thing. I'm still focusing on different stories of grief and those stories that offer hope and inspiration after a significant loss. Yeah. As while I come across a lot of people who are in a good place with it and have found a way to have purpose again and rediscover themselves, I also find that there's a lot who haven't. You know, there's both sides of that, because again, we're not taught how to do that. So mm-hmm. it's.
Well, I'm glad you're an inspiration to those people who are looking for power and purpose. And
thank you.
We appreciate that. And we appreciate thank you being on the show today. Where can people get your book and give us your website?
You can get my book on Amazon, and my website is Shining a Light on Grief, bringing a dark subject into the light.
Oh, I like that end of it.
Love that.
Well, thank you again for being on the show and for all the wonderful work you're doing for your son.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yes. And what's your son's name, Susan?
Nathan.
Nathan. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Like my mother said, for all the hope you give others. And I know that Nathan is your guiding light.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for watching the show today. And Heidi and I always want to remind you, if you've lost hope, please lean on ours until you find your own, and God bless.
I'm Dr. Heidi Horsley. You have been listening to Open to Hope, the podcast. You can follow Open to Hope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To learn more, visit us at opentohope.com and go to Apple Podcasts to subscribe.
I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley. Join us again next week for another Open to Hope conversation, where we invite you to lean on our hope until you find your own.